President reportedly dictated son's statement.
The revelation is likely to draw increased scrutiny by investigators.
Scaramucci's fast ouster.
The president certainly felt Anthony's comments were inappropriate for a person in that position.
Lawsuit over power outage.
Time is money to people on the Outer Banks.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. When Donald Trump Jr. first acknowledged a meeting with a Russian lawyer during the campaign, he left out that the offer was for dirt on Hillary Clinton. And one of President Trump's lawyers said,
"The president did not draft the response. The response came from Donald Trump Jr."
But now CBS's Jeff Pagaz tells us,
according to the Washington Post, Donald Trump Jr.'s initial public statement came directly from the president aboard Air Force One flying home from the G20 summit in Germany on July 8th. Trump personally dictated a response for his son that was given to the New York Times. In it, the statement explained that there was a short introductory meeting about the adoption of Russian children and that he was not told the name of the person I would be meeting with, and that it was not a campaign issue at the time.
Well, President Trump's attorney said the story is of no consequence and characterizations are misinformed, inaccurate, and not pertinent. It's the start of a new month, and the White House says it ushered in a clean slate. Chief of Staff John Kelly is in. Communications Director Anthony Scaramucci is out as President Trump tries to get his agenda on track.
The abrupt removal of Anthony Scaramucci just 10 days after he got the job makes it clear the new chief of staff is in charge.
General Kelly has the full authority to carry out business as he sees fit.
Press Secretary Sarah Sanders says all staffers here will now report to John Kelly. She laughs off the idea that this White House is in a constant state of chaos.
If you want to see chaos, come to my house with three preschoolers. This doesn't hold a candle to that.
Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, the White House.
Well, President Trump has threatened if there's no action on a health care bill, bailouts for insurance companies will end soon. CBS's Nancy Cordes says that's an apparent reference to an Obamacare provision that brings premiums down for low-income people.
About 6 million Americans on the individual market benefit from the cost-sharing funds issued to insurers.
It's really not any kind of bailout for insurers. It's just paying them for services that they're required by law to provide.
Larry Levitt is with Kaiser Family Foundation, which determined that insurers would need to hike their average premiums an additional 19% next year to compensate for that lost funding.
I think insurers are going to be looking really closely for signs as to whether the administration may continue to undermine the insurance market, in which case they may just grab their marbles and leave.
Already, nearly 20% of enrollees live in areas with only one provider, up from just 2% in 2016. The president made similar threats earlier this year, only to pull back.
Well, Tropical Depression Emily is moving out over the Atlantic. It blew through Florida, dumping heavy rain and causing some power outages. The power outage that ruined thousands of vacation plans on two North Carolina islands is now a matter for the courts. CBS's DeMarco Morgan is covering.
Utility providers have been ferrying in massive generators to help power homes and businesses for as many as 6,000 people still on Hatteras and Ocracoke Islands.
When the population leaves here, the economy is essentially gone and shut down.
In a class action lawsuit filed against the construction company responsible for the blackout, local business owners say they have suffered thousands of dollars in losses.
We are about a week away from going under.
Deborah Scalia says the disruption has cost her surf shop up to $7,000 per day.
That money we need to get through the winter down here, and we just don't have it.
In Alabama, we're learning more about last weekend's jailbreak. 12 inmates escaped, and here's how they did it.
Changing some numbers on the door with peanut butter. This may sound crazy, but these people are crazy like a fox.
Using peanut butter to change numbers, and Sheriff James Underwood says that was enough to trick a new jail employee to open a door that led outside.
We slipped up. I'm not going to make any excuses. It was a human error.
One inmate is still on the loose. Two opposition figures in Venezuela were rounded up last night by authorities, the latest development in the country's political turmoil. CBS's Manuel Bojorquez is in Caracas.
Their arrests do confirm the fears of the opposition here and many in the international community who believe that President Nicolas Maduro would use this weekend's vote to rewrite the Constitution as a pretext to jail, suppress, and otherwise silence the opposition. This is certain to only inflame tensions in the streets where clashes have happened almost daily between anti-government protesters and the national police. More than 100 people have been killed since April.
As the U.S. weighs sending additional troops to Afghanistan, CBS's Cammie McCormick says an inspector general is out with a look at what's going on there.
This latest report on the situation in Afghanistan claims there were more than 6,000 security incidents reported in the second quarter of this year. The security situation, the inspector general says, confines many American personnel to the U.S. embassy compound, meaning they can't oversee billions of dollars the U.S. is spending there. The report also says the struggle between the Afghan government and insurgents remains in a stalemate, and the amount of opiates produced in the country increased.
The HBO hit Game of Thrones was targeted, along with other productions, in a cyber attack that hit HBO. Security expert Alan Silberberg says a Game of Thrones script and scripts from other shows that have yet to air were compromised.
What we're talking about is a huge amount of information that's out there somewhere, whether it's going to be released or they're going to negotiate some way to get it back, or no one knows yet.
It happened in 1932 and again in 1984. Now the Summer Olympics are returning to Los Angeles.
In 2028, we're bringing the Games back to L.A., one of the great capitals of this Olympic movement, a city that has always been a Games changer and will be again in 2028.
Mayor Eric Garcetti, L.A.'s agreement with the International Olympic Committee paves the way for Paris to host the Games in 2024. In court testimony in Philadelphia, a woman claims she had a sexual relationship with baseball star Pete Rose in the 1970s, starting when she was 14 or 15 years old. Rose's lawyer says the claim is unverified. There's some redemption for Steve Bartman.
Into the stands and couldn't get it, and he's livid with a fan.
That fan at Wrigley Field who was blamed for costing the Chicago Cubs a trip to the World Series in 2003 by trying to catch a foul ball that a Cubs outfielder was trying to make a play on for a key out in the playoffs. The CBS's Dean Reynolds says the Cubs, who finally won the World Series last year, have now reached out with a ring.
We're honored to present a 2016 World Series championship ring to Mr. Steve Bartman. The team said, "We hope this provides closure on an unfortunate chapter," to which Bartman responded that he does not consider himself worthy of such an honor, but welcomed the start of an important healing and reconciliation process for all involved.
And that's the CBS World News Roundup for Tuesday, the 1st of August, 2017. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.